Hare Krishna. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been reading Chaitanya Charitamrita together and all of Sanatan Shiksha, and now moved on to how Lord Chaitanya converts the preaches to Prakashananda Saraswati and explains Vedanta Sutra, or actually the Chatushloki verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I've studied and read this part of Chaitanya Charitamrita many times, particularly writing Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. And of course it's brilliant, but particularly when we were reading, there were a few passages that really struck me, that really attracted me, and I'll just mention three, and I'll try to make it brief. The first one was Lord Chaitanya's 61 explanations of the Atmarama Shloka, which was a real mind-boggler. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, what can I say, he's brilliant. Now, that's an understatement. But, and I'm not brilliant, and that's also a understatement. To read and just to hear the Chatushlokis, it doesn't work. One really has to study that. Perhaps sometime in the future I can study it well and write it. It really requires focus and attention to follow the details that Lord Chaitanya puts in to explaining at great length these this one verse of Bhagavatam. And although I can't say that I got any extraordinary realization in terms of our new realization upon hearing it, but one thing that was very plain and very clear is that the Atmarama Shloka, although an important shloka, is not the only important shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many others. And that as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this verse in so many ways, 18 ways and then 61 ways, similarly, we as his followers, especially preachers, need to be able to explain verses of Bhagavatam in different ways. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada said, you should study my books from different angles, from different points of view. So studying them and seeing them from different points of view and explaining them in those ways. Like a precious stone or a gem. If you hold it up to the light and move it around, then you get different, according to the angle in which you're looking, then you get the refraction and see different colors. Bhagavatam is also like that. According to how we approach it, then we can get various understandings, which are all very comprehensive, and which all obviously come to the same conclusion of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but like a mountain peak, and it's one, but depending on which face of the mountain you climb, it may look different. So in that same way, reminded me that it's important to really study the verses of the Bhagavatam and study the explanations of the Bhagavatam that especially Srila Prabhupada has given us and the Acharyas have given, and especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given Chaitanya Charitamrita, his use of Bhagavatam verses, and are varied. Same verses are sometimes used and explained in different ways. The second thing of interest was when describing regulated devotional service and these 64 items of devotional service. I was what really caught me there was, of course, some of these items we really take for granted. We do regularly in our morning program. So if you attend the morning program, then you have Mangal Arti, you're doing Kirtan, you're hearing Srimad Bhagavata, you're associating with devotees, honoring Charanamrita. But there are other parts of these devotional activities that are not necessarily included in the morning program, what to speak of if we're not going to the morning program, that we need to really go out of our way in order to do them. And if we don't go out of our way to do them, then we miss out on those devotional benefits, what to speak of. We also neglect the angas of bhakti, and therefore are not following the regulations. One which came to mind that I really noticed was circumambulating the deity. I'm going to go into Mayapur, and there the temple is constructed in a way that you can circumambulate the deities inside the temple. In many or most Western temples, even in New Rajadam and in Budapest, the temples are not constructed in such a way that devotees can really circumambulate the deities inside. So it's not built in as part of the morning program, as in Mayapur, for instance. Therefore, if you want to circumambulate the temple, then you have to go outside and go around the temple on the outside. And when the temple is in town somewhere, you may end up having to walk around the whole city block. Now, we used to do that when we were young devotees. I remember after Mangal Arti, when it got a little light, then we would go outside, and as part of our japa, we would go around the city block to circumambulate Jagannath and Gornita in Montreal. But it's not something that we always do. I know that I don't do that, and that's a shame. Another very nice one, which, to be quite frank, I'd forgotten, was it says that one should place one's foot, touch one's head, not one foot, touch one's head to the lotus feet of the deity. And Prabhupada makes a comment there that this may not be possible for everyone, but at least the pujari should do that. So, of course, one would need to be a Brahmin in order to do that. But when devotees, either the full-time pujaris or when devotees do arti or perform some activity, here is a statement. Place your head at the lotus feet of the deity. And if the construction of the altar is such that it's awkward, then at least touch the lotus feet of the deity. And touch the dust of the lotus feet of the deity to one's own head. So here my meditation was that unless we really study these 64 items, see which one of these are sort of naturally part of our daily devotional activities, and which ones we really need to make go out of our way to apply, then we may not be following all the 64 items of devotional service. No doubt there are five that are most important. But still, we should see which of those that we can incorporate, like circumambulating the temple. And my third object of interest was after Sanatana Shiksha, when the Mayavadis, or Prakashananda Saraswati, had been converted into Vaishnavas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by leader of the Mayavadis to explain Vedanta Sutra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I'm sorry, I can't explain Vedanta Sutra to you. I'm an ordinary person." Now, obviously he's not. And even If we accept his role as an Acharya, why doesn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly explain Vedanta Sutra? Well, he said that one thing we know is that his spiritual master told him, don't study the Vedas, but just chant Hare Krishna. So one is an instruction from the spiritual master. The other is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm an ordinary person, I can't understand Vedanta Sutra, and it's not necessary because Vedanta Sutra has already been explained by the author himself in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll understand Vedanta Sutra. And all of Srimad Bhagavatam has been summarized in these four verses, Chatushloki, beginning with Hameva Shameva Gre. And that in itself is very interesting as to how Lord Chaitanya explains Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojan just in those four verses. Very, very interesting. That's a separate discussion. And what was very attractive and caught my attention was how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't willing to go against the instruction of his guru, wasn't going to, because he was in a public place being sort of challenged or called out by the sannyasis to explain Vedanta Sutra. And he just simply said, well, I'll explain the Chatushlokis, and if you understand that, then you'll understand Vedanta Sutra. And he didn't find any need to jump over or give any creative interpretation, because the interpretation was already there in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyway, these were the points and the thoughts for today, and Hare Krishna.